Adult Learning is sponsored by the Isle of Wight Council. If you would like to know more, email ian.mac@vectisradio.fm or take a look at the 4Ps section on our website.
Hey, it's Georgie. Today I want to tell you about The Last Dinner Party, a band that is quickly becoming a rising star in the indie rock scene. My first encounter with The Last Dinner Party was through their debut single, Nothing Matters. The music video kept popping up in my recommendations for about a week until I finally took a leap of faith and clicked on it. At first glance, the band looked as if they had walked straight out of a gothic novel, mourning in somber, historical-inspired attire. Honestly, I thought I was in for a super slow-paced, angsty song, but then the song bursts into life. The track builds intensity with Kate Bush-esque vocals, growing louder and more powerful, while the guitar shreds maniacally. And the video matches this energy, depicting the members indulging in scenes of escalating hedonism and debauchery. To me, this song perfectly encapsulates who The Last Dinner Party are. It is the ideal introduction to their music. Operatic rock influences, theatricality, and outfits that could be 500 years old or strikingly modern. While Nothing Matters is perhaps, no, definitely, more pop-driven than some of their other tracks, it is no wonder they have rapidly risen to become one of alt-rock's most exciting new bands. Now, how did they come to be? The Last Dinner Party consists of 5 members. I apologise if I mispronounce any names. Abigail Morris on vocals, Lizzie Mayland on guitar and vocals, Emily Roberts on lead guitar, also playing mandolin and flute, Georgie Davies on bass, and Aurora Nishevsky on keys and vocals. The band officially formed in 2020 when 3 friends, Abigail, Georgie and Lizzie, attended some gigs together and decided to start a band. They later recruited Emily Roberts and Aurora Nishevsky. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, they struggled to gain momentum until November of 2021, when they booked their first gig. With all this in mind, they have come a long way in such a short span of time. What fascinates me about this band is that they started as a purely live act, defying the rules of the modern music industry. Rather than chasing viral internet fame, they wanted to play shows and build their fan base through word of mouth, a decidedly old school but tried and true approach. Their success proves that this method can still work today, though they do now use social media to interact with their large fan base. Today, aspiring musicians are often told, you have to build a huge online following, or you should be releasing a new song every week so people don't forget you exist. This can lead to artists who excel at being online, but fall short when it comes to live performances. The Last Dinner Party, however, are exceptional performers. Their stage presence is dizzying and electric. They choose to let their songs live and grow organically through these performances rather than perfecting them in a studio. By July 2022, they had opened for the Rolling Stones at Hyde Park. They have also opened for Florence and the Machine, a fitting comparison in terms of theatricality, stage presence and production. They are often compared to Kate Bush, and you can definitely hear why in Abigail Morris's vocals, Metallica, thanks to the awesome guitar shredding, and even Queen, perhaps due to the operatic rock influences in many of their songs. By the way, as I've mentioned Kate Bush twice in this podcast, it is only right that I mention her a third time to tell you all that my mum went to school with Kate Bush. Yes, that's right. Kate Bush was my mum's class prefect. Hello, Kate, if you're listening to this. Just kidding. That is as far as our claimed Kate Bush fame goes. Let's talk about their music by delving into their album. They only have one album out so far, Prelude to Ecstasy. The debut album went straight to number one, selling 32,000 units in its first week and earning a Mercury Prize nomination. That is quite an achievement for a band that formed just 4 years ago and only started performing 2 years ago. The album is not just music, it's an experience. The opening and title track, Prelude to Ecstasy, welcomes us with a cinematic orchestral sound. It is big, it is loud, it is swelling, like something you would hear at the start of a dark fantasy film, introducing a vast, outlandish world. Then we move into Burn Alive, which continues the cinematic, dynamic, and haunting atmosphere. The lyrics are poetic, raw, and this blend of alternative rock and gothic elements defines The Last Dinner Party's music. Their visuals, equally intricate, create a whole universe and make it feel like you're watching a film. At first I thought their name, The Last Dinner Party, had something to do with The Last Supper or the famous painting inspired by it. I wondered, is this some complex commentary on Christianity that I don't quite grasp? But no, it has nothing to do with that. Apparently it's just about a debauched dinner party, which still fits them perfectly. You absolutely cannot discuss Last Dinner Party without talking about their style. They look like they've stepped out of a Renaissance painting into a Gothic novel and then walked into the present day. Their style is lavish, billowing gowns, strings of pearls, red velvet corsets. I have brought this next thing up a few times in my podcast now, but I simply cannot go without mentioning it because I truly think it's such a fun way to make audience feel included in the atmosphere of the act they are going to see and the show. The Last Dinner Party have also partaken in the recent trend of creating dress codes for their concerts. These dress codes range from Victorian, Greek mythology, and the Brothers Grimm. Now those are such creative concepts and so incredibly fitting for The Last Dinner Party. As someone who loves fashion, I would be so excited to put together an extravagant outfit and bob around awkwardly, as one does at a concert, while watching them tear up the stage. I would also love seeing everyone else's outfits, and I really hope this trend continues. Now, I am going to recommend you 3 songs by The Last Dinner Party that you absolutely must hear. First up is My Lady of Mercy. What I love about this track is the contrast between the verse and the chorus. The verses remind me of a classic indie rock song, with a melody that feels oddly familiar, almost upbeat, but the chorus, it goes hard. The tempo slows down, the intensity ramps up, and the vocals shift from raw to a reverent falsetto, like a hymn. To me, this song seems to be about idolizing a lover or muse in a way that is far from healthy. The middle 8 is a dark, atmospheric build-up with eerie, almost ghoulish sounds. It crescendos into a final, raw refrain, a final plea to the idol. One word to describe the song would be religious. The reverence for the object of affection is almost religious. Next, I want to highlight a cover they performed, This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. I'm not familiar with the original, but their version starts with quiet, whispery vocals that remind me of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. It has that same operatic quality mixed with heavy guitar riffs and piano. It's so full of life that I almost hesitate to listen to the original, fearing it will not compare. In this version, every instrument feels alive. Finally, Sinner is probably my favourite track. As someone who is queer, I relate to it deeply. It reminds me of wanting my crushes or romantic feelings to be seen as innocent and not inherently wrong. The song is about embracing darker impulses, those that society might label immoral. There is a sense of liberation in allowing oneself to be a sinner. Musically, it builds from quiet opening to an intense climax. The music mirrors the lyrics perfectly, especially near the end, as it embodies surrendering to one's desires, despite societal or moral consequences. If you were looking for the perfect soundtrack to this Halloween season, give The Last Dinner Party a listen. They will totally set the mood for this dark and dreary time. And if you just want something new and exciting to explore, also give them a listen. I'm sure many of their songs will sound familiar in ways to rock and indie fans, but to people who do not often venture from the safety of pop, honestly like myself, they are super fresh and exciting. I love the cohesiveness of their sound and their visuals. It is just chef's kiss. They've also released a short film that ties into the themes of their album Prelude to Ecstasy. I have not watched it yet because I'm a bit strange and I like to wait before checking out new releases, but you definitely should because from what I know, it is phenomenal. It is so cool. Thank you for listening to my podcast on The Last Dinner Party.